glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for June 20th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Today, we take a look at Voice of the Martyrs. This is an organization that was started 40-plus years ago during the height of the Cold War, and it has continued on because it gives a voice to those who are being martyred around the world. Todd Nettleton is our guest today on Mark and Friends. Welcome, Todd.
Thanks so much. It's good to be with you.
Now, for those who are not familiar with Voice of the Martyrs, let's go all the way back to the Wormbrands.
Richard and Sabina Wormbrand founded the Voice of the Martyrs. Richard was a pastor in communist Romania, a pastor first under the Nazis, and then the communists came in and pushed out the Nazis, but then the communists took over. Both of them persecuted the church. Both of them persecuted Richard and Sabina, and Richard would end up spending a total of 14 years in prison because of his gospel work. Sabina, his wife, spent 3 years in prison, including many, many months in a labor camp helping to build the Danube Canal. And so they suffered greatly, but it was actually while Richard was in a solitary confinement cell. He spent 3 years in solitary confinement. While he was in that cell, the Lord really gave him a vision for a ministry that would help people like him, persecuted Christians, persecuted pastors. And so when Richard and Sabina came out of Romania, they were actually ransomed out. People paid a ransom to the communist government to allow Richard and Sabina to leave the country. When they came to the West, they were warned before they left Romania, you can talk about the Bible all you want now, you can talk about God all you want, but don't talk about what we did to you. Don't tell the stories. And Richard came and did exactly what they told him not to do. He began to tell about 3 years in solitary confinement. He began to tell about the torture. In fact, he testified before the U.S. Senate and took off his shirt and showed the scars, showed the wounds of torture. But more than just telling his own story, he said, there are still pastors in those prisons. There are still Christians being persecuted there. And people like you and I, we hear that and we say, well, how do we help them? Well, what can we do for them? That's really how the Voice of the Martyrs was founded, was to be the answer to that question. How can we help them? How can we encourage them? But also, how can we be inspired by their faithfulness? How can we hear their stories? And so we're now almost 57 years down the road. That's exactly what we're still doing today, is telling the stories of persecuted Christians and going into hostile and restricted nations. Today, it's more than 70 countries where Christians are persecuted, giving them Bibles, helping them after they've been persecuted, and equipping and encouraging frontline workers who are sharing the gospel in those really difficult places.
So I know we have the Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. That's in November. But we've got something a little closer that's coming up, Todd. It's June 29th. Tell us about it.
June 29th is the Day of the Christian Martyr, and it's not an accident that it's June 29th. June 29th, according to church history, is the day the Apostle Paul was executed outside the city of Rome. And so what better day to honor Christians throughout history who have given their lives for the cause of Christ? And you mentioned the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians in November. That's a day where we really think about Christians who are facing persecution right now, and we pray for them, and we pray that God would bless them and encourage them and protect them. Day of the Christian Martyr is a little different. It's really a look backwards at the people who have given their lives for the cause of Christ. And it's not a situation of hero worship where we want to look at them and say, wow, isn't it amazing how their faith was? Isn't it amazing what they did? We really want it to be an inspiration. Yes, it is amazing what they did, because our God is amazing, but it's not about what they did or about their sacrifice. It's about, hey, they were willing to give their lives for the cause of Christ. What am I willing to give to see my neighbor reached with the gospel? What am I willing to give to see my city changed by the power of Jesus Christ? And frankly, for most of us, what we're risking is not our lives. You know, if I go knock on my neighbor's door and say, hey, I'd like to tell you about Jesus, the chances are pretty slim that my neighbor's going to shoot me or even beat me up.
Right.
Now, it might be an awkward conversation. I'm not denying that. It could be kind of awkward, and he might look at me funny as I drive by the rest of the week. But that's a pretty low risk compared to brothers and sisters who have laid down their lives for Christ. And so that's really the point of the Day of the Christian Martyr, is to say, hey, they are willing to lay down their lives. What am I willing to sacrifice to advance the gospel in my community?
And you've got some great resources. These are free for churches, teachers, families. And that website is www.persecution.com/martyr. You've got a new short video. And so these could be some resources that maybe a church wants to present to their congregation as we continue to think about those who have given their life. You've got a special focus for this June 29th. Tell us about Mosul.
You know, it's hard to believe that it's been 10 years ago, actually 10 years ago this month, that ISIS rolled across the Nineveh Plains in northern Iraq and invaded the city of Mosul. And Christians there were given an ultimatum. They were given three choices, really. You can convert to Islam, you can run for your lives, or you can be killed. And we remember ISIS going, we remember them painting the noon, the Arabic letter N, on the buildings and the businesses of Christians as a way of claiming that property. Yes, this used to belong to the Christians, but now this is the property of the Islamic State. Many, many Christians fled Mosul. And in fact, I went, I was just looking at my kind of past travel history. I was in northern Iraq in September of that year, and there were refugees everywhere. Every empty building was full of refugees. Every park was full of tents and refugees. And so that was, many people fled. But there were also Christians who gave their lives. They were given that choice. Hey, become a Muslim or I'm going to kill you. And they said, I will not become a Muslim. And so we want to honor their memory. We want to honor their sacrifice. And we want to be inspired by their example.
There's some other hot spots that you have been highlighting recently. You recently spent time, I guess, with a pastor from Vietnam. You know, we think of Vietnam, we were there. There's still an incredible amount of persecution in Vietnam. Tell us about it.
There is. It is a communist country. We know that communists don't appreciate the church. They certainly don't want the church to grow. And as you mentioned, I had the chance to sit down with a pastor from Vietnam. We actually taped an interview for Voice of the Martyrs Radio, so we'll be sharing that in the next few weeks. One of the really interesting things that he said, though, is how different Vietnam is if you're a Christian in one of the major cities, in Hanoi or in Ho Chi Minh City, versus if you're a Christian in a rural village setting far away from the cities. He said in the cities, there are church buildings, there are churches that are having open public services on Sunday, people aren't being beaten up, people aren't being arrested. You could mistake it for a free country. But he said, when you go to the village where there aren't any foreigners and there aren't any TV cameras and they're not, you know, a lot of reporters reporting what's going on, you see Christians who are facing severe persecution. In fact, he told the story of a pastor friend of his who just within the last couple of months was told by a policeman. A policeman kind of came up to him and said, listen, we can find drugs in your house anytime we want. And the pastor kind of looked at him as like, well, I don't use drugs. That's not the point. We can find drugs in your house anytime we want. And the penalty for being a drug dealer in Vietnam is life in prison. So the police are openly saying, listen, we can plant drugs at your house and you'll go to prison for life. Why don't you stop preaching? Why don't you close down your church? Or why don't you move away from here? That's the kind of pressure that our brothers and sisters in these rural settings are facing. And it's interesting, the response of this young pastor. He said his first response was, well, we need to get a security camera. We need to have a security camera on our front door and on our back door. And then if the police come and try to plant drugs, we'll have the evidence. We'll have the footage. We can show, look, these were planted. But he said as him and his wife prayed about it and thought about it, they kind of backed away from that plan. And they really made the decision. We're not relying on our security camera for our security. We're relying on the Lord. We're going to pray that the Lord will protect us, and we're going to keep doing the things that he calls us to do. And if it's his will that we would be arrested, then he will sustain us, and he will encourage us through that process. But what a bold example, what a bold faithfulness. There's another pastor who is in prison right now. He is serving a life sentence for drugs that were planted on him. And one of the things that my pastor friend told me is they can't change anything with the legal process for 7 years. So when you get sentenced to life in prison, nothing can happen as far as an appeal or anything for 7 years. And so during that first 7 years, the police have been putting intense pressure on this pastor, on his wife. Listen, you need to renounce your faith. Listen, you need to tell your husband to renounce his faith. At least then he'll only serve 7 years in prison. We can help him get out after that. But if he doesn't renounce his faith, he's going to be in there his whole life. And as you think about a wife with young children, as you think about a pastor, a young man wanting to go home to his family, how intense would that pressure be to compromise and to deny your faith? And yet he is standing faithfully and saying, no, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to deny Christ. I'm not going to join the Communist Party. I'm not going to bend to your will. If I have to serve my whole life in prison, I will do that. Again, just an incredible example of faithfulness and hopefully a call to prayer among those who are listening to pray for our brothers and sisters in Vietnam and in other hostile and restricted nations.
Another hotspot, Democratic Republic of the Congo. And that's ongoing, and that's right now. What's going on over there?
It is ongoing. And in fact, this month, I was reading a report this morning, about 100 people have been killed in jihadist attacks in DRC, primarily in the eastern part of the country. One of the interesting things about DRC is if you look at the statistics, they say it's 90% Christian. And yet there are more than 100 radical groups that are fighting for some kind of control. They're fighting against the government. They're fighting against the people. They're committing jihad. They're trying to set up a caliphate. We had a pastor on Voice of the Martyrs radio over the weekend who is from DRC. He's Congolese. And he shared the story of a village was raided by this Islamist group. They asked two men who were standing together, they asked one of them, are you a Christian or a Muslim? And the man said, I'm a Christian. He was executed instantly. They just shot and killed him right there. Then they asked the other man, are you a Muslim or a Christian? And the man said, well, I'm a Muslim. I mean, he'd just seen his friend be shot, and he said, I'm a Muslim. Well, then they started to quiz him about Islamic teachings and about Ramadan, and did he fast during Ramadan? How good of a Muslim was he? Did he really understand? At the end of that questioning, they said, you know, you're not a very good Muslim. We're not going to kill you, but you need to work harder. You need to be better as a Muslim. But that's the reality, that sort of instantaneous, if you answer the question, I'm a Christian, you will be killed. And yet we have brothers and sisters who are answering that question and saying, no, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not going to deny Christ. I am a Christian, even knowing that they will be killed. And so it is a very difficult and very violent situation right now for Christians. And as I say, even this month, there have been multiple attacks with dozens of Christians killed, and they are targeting Christians. They're targeting churches. They're targeting pastors. They understand the spiritual part of this battle, and they are trying hard to wipe out the Christian presence in DRC.
If someone really wanted to dig a lot deeper into the persecuted church and really have like a prayer focus, Todd has written a book called When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. This is Moody Press. And that would give you kind of a devotional, a 40-day prayer focus. What is all in the book, Todd?
The book is really an invitation to, why don't you come on a trip with me and let's go meet persecuted Christians. I've been working at Voice of the Martyrs now for 26 years, and I've had the amazing holy privilege of going around the world and sitting down with the Paul and Silases of today and hearing their stories. You know, I really literally think of it that way. If you sat down with Paul and Silas after they came out of the Philippian jail, you would say, well, you know, why did you decide to have a singing time in the middle of the night in the jail, what song were you singing when the earthquake started? How did you know that the doors were open and you were going to be able to walk free? Those are the kind of questions that I've had the privilege of asking and hearing the testimonies of brothers and sisters. And so When Faith is Forbidden is really an invitation. Hey, come with me. Let's take a 40-day journey. Every day we're going to sit down with a persecuted Christian and we're going to hear their story. And the promise, I think, of the book, the promise that I would make to you as a reader is on day 41, your faith is going to look different, because you can't hang out with persecuted Christians and hear their stories and drink tea with them and ask them questions without it impacting the way you think about your Bible, the way you think about gathering with other believers, and what a sacred privilege that is to be able to gather together and sing praises and pray for each other and study God's word together. Your faith will look different on day 41 after you spend 40 days meeting persecuted Christians. And so that is the genesis of the book. There are certainly stories of persecuted Christians. There's some fun travel anecdotes from over the years. And there are some specific ways that we can pray, because we always want, as we hear these stories, to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. That's what they ask us to do. There are some really thought questions and some Bible study and some places for personal reflection, some notes pages to write in your thoughts as we try to apply these stories to our American Christian life.
I think in Scripture it's clear, remember those who are in chains. Remember Amen. Those believers. And it just sensitizes me. It softens me. It just makes me stop whining about things that don't matter, about, you know, church politics or who's going to be in charge of VBS and what kind of a job they're doing or any of that Western Christianity silliness. And it just makes me say, wow. Don't have my family right now in any kind of jeopardy. My husband's not in prison. I'm not, you know, in fear of going to prison. And I just think it's healthy to really think about that. That's kind of how the early church lived, didn't they, as they were walking out their faith?
It is very healthy, and it is how the early church, and it's frankly still how the church lives in hostile and restricted nations. They think about, well, who got arrested this week?
Yeah.
Who's in jail today? Whose family do we need to look out for and make sure they have a meal this evening because dad got arrested during the week? And I think one of the great things about these stories is every time we read a story, every time we hear a story of a persecuted Christian, I think the very natural response is, well, what would I do in that situation? You know, we talked about the Christians in Mosul when ISIS rolled in and said, hey, run for your lives or become a Muslim or be killed. What would I do in that situation? And I think the great thing about that question is most of us, especially if we've been in the church a long time, we know what the right answer is, right?
Yeah.
We know that we're supposed to say, well, I would stand up and I would preach the gospel to those ISIS guys as they were coming for me. And we want to say, yeah, that's what I would do. But what happens is we read these stories and we ask, okay, what would I do? And we say, oh, Lord, I know what I want to do. I know what I want to answer that I would do. Help me. Yeah. Help me to be strong. Help me to grow in my faith. Help me to be bolder than I am today. And so that question and that time of considering and then that time of prayer, I really see it as a pathway to spiritual growth, because we're seeing the example. We're looking at our own lives. And then we're saying, Lord, help me to be like the example. Help me to be like these brothers and sisters who are willing to die rather than deny Christ.
Mm. For some reason, the country of Turkey has been on my heart. My daughter is in Turkey, and she went on a missions trip with her church. And I know two other people right now in Turkey, and they're not coming back until July. But yet, we just heard that they've expelled like 100 Christian workers right now from Turkey. It looks like they're clamping down over there. Do you have any intel about that?
You know, Turkey is one of my favorite countries in the world, one of my favorite places to visit. It is a fantastic place. And when you think about New Testament history and you think about the seven churches of Revelation, which are in modern day Turkey, I think every Christian should go to Turkey. But as you say, there is a crackdown. There is persecution that is happening there. And One of the things we have seen over the last 4 years is Christian workers being expelled from the country, especially foreigners, but some foreigners who are married to Turks are still being expelled, and their Turkish spouse is basically being told, hey, do you want to stay here without your spouse, or do you want to go? And so there is an effort to kind of rid the country of these Christians. I think one of the ways we can pray about that situation is for Turkish Christians who don't have a visa because they live there, they were born there, to stand strong for Christ and to have that opportunity to share their faith, to witness to others, that the church will grow.
Before I let you go, Todd, let's remind our listeners how they can get all this wonderful material that's being put out by Voice of the Martyrs.
Our website is persecution.com, so it's an easy one to remember, persecution.com. There's a link there to the Day of the Christian Martyr resources. Again, those are free and digital. You can download them. You can use them in your church, in your Sunday school class, in your Bible study group, even in your family devotions. So persecution.com. The other thing I would point people to, right at the top of the page, there's a button that says free magazine. Just click on that. Give us your name and address. We would love to send you every month the free Voice of the Martyrs magazine, stories of our persecuted brothers and sisters, ways to pray for them, ways to encourage and join in service with them. So that's two ways to get involved. The other thing I'll say is the VOM app. VOM has an app for your smartphone, for your tablet. Every single day, it will pull up a new prayer request for persecuted Christians around the world. The first thing that they ask us to do is to pray for them. And so put the app on your phone. It'll actually, you can set a reminder and say, hey, every day at 9 a.m., I'm going to pray for persecuted Christians. And your phone will buzz. It will pull up a brand new request, a specific way for you to pray that day. It is a great way, in addition to lots of other resources in the app, but I think that daily prayer request is really the key part of it, of helping people to pray for our brothers and sisters. You mentioned the verse, Hebrews 13:3, remember those in prison as if you were in prison with them. Mm. Well, if I was in prison, one of the first things I'd want to know is that people were praying for me. Yeah. And so that's why the app is so important. That's why our prayers are so important. And again, there's links to that also at persecution.com.
Todd Nettleton, our guest today on Mark and Friends, A Voice of the Martyrs. Thanks again, Todd, for creating awareness on the persecuted church.
Thank you so much.